Okay, so basically, right, we know that we only get punished. You think that you only get punished for your own sins. Children, we have a lot of children here, whose parents are here. We know that children, they don't get punished for the sins of their parents, right? Because the Pasuk in Devarim says, Lo yumsu avos al banim, ubanim lo yumsu al avosam, right? Everyone, you sin, you get punished. Children don't get punished for the sins of their parents. Parents don't get punished for the sins of their kids. And yet, in this week's Parsha, we have in the second Dibra, the Pasuk says that God is a jealous God. Poked avod avos al banim, al shleshim al bem lesonai. That God remembers the sins of the fathers for the children, for third and fourth generations. So meaning, and we also have that in the Yud Gimel Midos Shirachmim, right? Hashem Shem Kerachum V'chanun. Right, in Perek Lamed Daled, we say Hashem is poked avon avos al banim al bnei banim al shleshim val rabim. Kadosh Baruch Hu remembers the sins of the fathers over the children and the grandchildren for three and four generations. So the question is: It seems Hashem remembers the sins for the kids. So Josh, you want to say what? What do you say? What?
That it's only if the kids follow in their parents' footsteps.
So if the kids follow... when you learn this, you learn this as a kid, right? So when you learn this as a kid, that's saying that children get punished for the sins of their parents when they continue on that path. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that they get punished, like, in addition?
We learned that they get punished in addition. That's what.
Okay. So two kids do the same sin, one gets a worse punishment
because
if they're ancestors.
Right.
Okay. Why and why would that be?
It's a good question.
Why do you think that would be? Why do you think that would be? Let's think about this, right? Why do you think that would be? If it, in other words, let's assume Josh is correct. Let's assume that Josh is correct that a child, right? What child A, parents didn't sin. Commits theft. Child B, father was a robber. Grandfather was a robber. My great-grandfather was a robber, right? From going back to Europe. I come from a long line of robbers. The kid who's a robber, according to Josh...
You would think it would be the opposite.
You would think it'd be the opposite. Why would you think it'd be the opposite?
Because they're just doing what their parents did.
They don't know any better. Okay.
You wouldn't think that they already had a straw.
So maybe that was a straw. Okay, good. Now, I just want to point out, okay, before we're going to get to that, we're going to give five approaches, by the way. Josh, that's one approach. And usually when you learn things as kids, you're probably learning Rashi's approach, which is good. We believe in Rashi in this house. So I just want to point out that there are stories. You know, as much as you would think that, children don't get punished for the sins of their father, I will bring you three Navi stories. We have an expert in Navi here, because... We got Navi here? Okay. My goal is just to make you feel uncomfortable, so you'll come back. Okay, so I brought you three stories. About the first story is with Eli, right? Eli, he did not do so well. What was his punishment?
He's going to lose his kahuna,
but more than that, he's cursed. What? Look in Shmuel Aleph Beis, Zelechaos. This is going to be the sign, Pasuk Lamadal. This is the sign that what's going to happen, I'm going to... Eli's punished. No one's going to be old in your house. What's the sign that you're going to be punished? Pasuk Lamed Daled. Zelecha Osher Yavo El Shnei Banecha El Chafni Upinchas. B'yomachad Yomusu Shneihem. Chafni and Pinchas are going to die one day. Seems to indicate on the surface, it's Eli's sin. His two kids are going to die. That's what it seems on the surface, right? So maybe what you have to say, Josh? They were also sinning. It's a little difficult, right? You also have the story with, I have two other stories, right? You want to drink something? What do you want? You want a cup? You have a cup?
I got it.
Yeah. So you also have the story of Gehazi. What happened with Gehazi? What story with Gehazi?
Elisha's servant.
He was Elisha's servant, his right-hand man. And what happened to him?
He ran ahead of Elisha and he tried to revive the child
without. Well, he got the, Naaman wanted to pay, right? So Elisha healed Naaman, and Naaman wanted to pay Elisha. Said, "I don't want to take payment." So Gehazi went ahead and took payment. And what did Elisha say? But Saras Naaman tidbak b'cha uvezarach alalam. What happened to your children also? Did they also do something wrong? Maybe. Okay, I don't know. The probably one of the more troubling stories is the story with, well, it's troubling in its own right, the story of David and Bathsheba. You know, David when he committed the sin with Uriah.
And his son died.
What?
And his son died.
And his son died. Right? Clearly, the baby died, right? Right? Elisha's baby died. Bathsheba's child died that she gave birth to. Clearly, that story, you can't say that the baby did anything wrong. So again, so we have the pasuk in Devarim, you know, that each right, Devarim Perek Chaf Dalet pasuk Tesvav, each bechato yumas, everyone dies for their own sin. But then we have maybe what is this in the second of the Dibros, Poket Avon Avos Abanim Asheshim Avabim Asonai, right? And then we have some of these stories which seem to indicate that kids are punished for sins of their father. Now, I may not satisfy your theological troubles here this evening, but I will provide you with five approaches, and maybe one of them will be, maybe you'll like one of them, maybe not, but it's obviously it's very challenging. I mean, if you think about it, a lot of what happens in this world is challenging, so just add this to the mix. Okay, so the first approach is what Josh said, Lisodai, right? Rashi, in this week's Parsha, Kitargumo, he quotes Targum Unkelus, Kisha Ochazin Maase Avoseim. So this is only when the children follow in the footsteps of the parents. Okay? So when they follow in the footsteps of their parents, so then there. Because obviously Rashi and the Targum Unkelus is bothered by the fact, how can I be punished for something that someone else did? Can't be. Must be that when I continue in their sin, I'm not only punished for my sin, but also for the parents' sin. Yeah?
Can't you say that a mom's hurt is a kid being punished for the
right.
sin?
Yes, I like that. I was thinking about that. I'm going to get into that. If I forget, when we do the fifth approach, I think it's connected to that. I think it's related to that as well. Mamzer is very theologically troubling. It exists. You should know by Mamzer, right? If the Mamzer is punished, the Mamzer is a product of a sin. We bend over backwards, by the way, to try to avoid it. I don't want to say more of this. I've had situations in the past.
We try to avoid looking
into situations. We try to avoid the problem for another reason. We'll try to rely on very like even unreasonable, maybe sometimes unreasonable possibilities that maybe the person's not a mom's there. Sometimes you can't avoid it. And I've been advised a few times is don't look into the matter any further. Sometimes I've been advised in some circumstances because we hold suffix moms, and now you're all curious. Wonderful. Okay, so good. I've been here 20 years. You can start guessing. Okay, good. So anyway, I think we're all good. We're all good in this country. Okay. So in any case, that's another instance where we're trying to do a kind of dance. We want to deter certain bad behavior. But in practice, we try to avoid it. So, like, how do we start balance the two? It's troubling. Yeah, it's troubling. But I think it's related to that.
Are children different than community, though?
What do you mean?
Because there are times where a community can be punished for the sins of a leader or sins of...
Maybe. Or sometimes the minority might be punished for the sins of the majority of people. Yeah, so sometimes we have...
So
listen,
is it considered in the same scope?
Maybe. We'll talk about it. Yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe, right. In other words, it could be that that's the way... In other words, the Kaddish Baruch Hu may run the world in certain ways. He tries to accomplish certain goals. You don't always have perfect outcomes, right? That's just life. Life, you're always... Sometimes when you make rules and you have certain things, you have goals for society... And your goals for individuals. And sometimes, like, you know, you say, I want to do a rule for the whole school or the whole grade. But this, it's good for the whole grade in general, but for these two students, it's not good. Both statements could be true. You can't say necessarily that, you know, every school rule is perfect for the whole grade and for every kid. It could be that sometimes we do things that have the best overall outcome, or we make it in society, right? You have different groups. You can't always have, even God, when God is making a Torah, to try to create the best system possible with human beings, you may not always have the best outcome for every single individual. I mean, you might have to deal with that. But let's read on a little bit. So the first approach, what?
We were talking about that in our Chabura.
Yeah.
We wrote some stuff from the Rambam, and basically said that.
Right, the Rambam says that not every mitzvah is best for every single person. Right. So it's for the society as a whole. So I just want to point out, the Radak in Malachim Beis does say that in the Gehazi story, he wants to say that Malami Shay Barav Yodi Badavar, that the kids knew about this, that Gehazi's kids knew that Gehazi did take this payment from Naaman. So the Radak basically wants to say that in this case, this is just an example. In this story, that Gehazi's kids were also somewhat culpable.
Do you have any evidence that would say that, or is it really he's just so troubled by the story that he's forced to come up with?
Could be number two. So I didn't look into that much, but I'm saying this is just an example where, again, it's always a question, like, you know, what's pushing your, you know, is you have an agenda or you have a philosophy, and is there evidence in Torah? I didn't look into it too much, to be honest with you, It doesn't seem from simple reading the story that his kids are doing anything wrong.
How would someone explain the case of David and Bathsheba?
We'll get that at the end. Right. This cannot explain the David Bathsheba story.
I agree.
Right. Maybe we're gonna see. Maybe babies might be different.
Yeah, okay. Because also, like, you didn't have to mourn. David didn't have to mourn on the kid. Yeah. Like, he's like not even like basically like he's not even classified as a human yet.
Well, if he's kind of a human, I mean,
no, but like, if you don't have to mourn for him, then
we're gonna see a Rambam that talks about, in other words, little kids might be different. There might be a difference between grown up kids and little kids, maybe. But this approach does not answer the David Bathsheba question. Just want to point out the Rabbag. Then he asked the question. He says, "Va'ulam Rabbi Seder Zali Tiu is Asav Bofer Acher V'zeh Shemar Moshem Yisala Hu Poked Avon Avos Abadim." That Hashem remembers the sin of the fathers on the kids. Kasher yiyu habadim ochazi masei avasei biyadehem is only when the kids are following their father's footsteps. Vehu b'li safek mamar miti, this without doubt is a true statement. And then he says, v'zeh ki hara hamis. Now we're going to explain different formulations. The Rabbag in the Sefer Hoa Moshe, two different ways to understand why, if my father sinned and I also sinned, same as my father, why am I going to get more of a punishment? So the Rabbah just says, "Ki hara hamesudar meHashem italeh alzad hatochot yeh lefi meri," that the bad that God will arrange will depend on the meri, I guess, the rebellion or the bitterness, the rebellion. Rotzel lomar shemi shehistabech bemeri sibuch muat tasbik lo tochcha muuta. That if you're mired in bitterness, a little bit of rebellion, so you need a little bit of tochacha. Umisha hechzik bo baofen to shavlo kin chazak. But if you are holding a strong kinyan on the rebellion, you start with tochach yotzer alutzuma. So the more mired in sin you are, the more tochacha you need. Uviyose yan kain, because this idea is true. Hine kasher chata Adam levado, when Adam sinned by himself, taspik lo tochos yoser meuta, meatochos shei tzarech lo mehoyam machzik oviv bezos hatchuda, vahu haya ochez maaseh avosav, ki az nisabech vzeh amari sibuch yoser chazak. So he wants to say that, again, it's hard to know exactly, he just says, what he's saying here is that the more mired you are in sin, the more that you need to uproot it. So if someone... We're not even looking at blame and culpability. That the more like ingrained in sin you are, my father, my grandfather, my great grandfather is continuing on the Masorah, so you need harsher punishment. Assuming that punishment somehow, punishment sort of removes removes some of the effects of the sin. So you need, if it's dug in deep, you need to, you know, harsher thing to rip it out. The whole Moshe has a little different take on this, and he basically says that really, again, we're assuming, like, you might say, if my father did it, so I'm used to it, so I should be punished less. The other way to look at it is that you sort of know, it's like if they saw that their father was punished in his wickedness and did not stop, even if he was punished, so then they should have learned from their father. Now, I guess I think the assumption is that somehow they recognized this behavior was wrong and the father was punished, which is a questionable assumption. But he wants to say that maybe in a world where there's greater cause and punishment, you know, we're talking the Torah, and we're saying that if your parent is bad, and let's say the son saw that it was bad behavior and he saw that he was punished for it, or he saw that bad things happened to it, so he should be more focused. In other words, I guess whenever, it's sort of the opposite a little bit. I would think that, you know, if my parents are doing this, I'm likely going to continue what they're doing. What he's saying is that a child needs to understand that, you know, that every person, including the parents, they have good things and bad things about them, and they have to actually be more careful. If they see something negative about their parent, that they don't do it themselves. They have to respect their parents, obviously, but you have to understand, if your parent does something which is, you know, which is a failure, which is not ideal, then in all likelihood, you, the child, are probably going to continue that behavior. So you have to work extra hard, like you're on notice, like you had Hasra, you're on notice, and you have to work extra hard not to continue that behavior.
Well, we don't, I mean, I guess we say that some of the time, but I think the consensus is, yeah, if your grandfather didn't keep Shabbos, and
yeah,
you don't, if your father didn't keep Shabbos, right, you'll say, well, you know, nobody else did, I don't really know anything about
what, yeah, this is. Right, so
we don't say that this person should be punished. We say, well, yeah, he doesn't know.
Right, so that's a fair point. I think we're talking about here, so the whole notion of like someone whose grandparents didn't keep Shabbos, that's like a modern thing. I mean, modern means like post-1800s. I think here we're talking about, like, obviously you talk about a Tinoch Shenishba, someone who doesn't know anything from anything. I think we're talking about where you're part of a halacha community. You're part of a halacha community, and, you know, we aspire to do good, and sort of you need to be very conscious about, like, things that, like, the wonderful things that your parents do, you want to continue. And if certain things your parents fall short, you need to be very aware that this, it's a natural tendency, and you're probably going to inherit it, so you have to be even more concerned about it.
This also assumes cause and effect. What about the concept of bad things happening to good people and vice versa?
Right,
so
right.
How do you even know?
Yeah, so it's hard to know, right? So this assumes, like I said, this assumes he's being punished and not. So I'm saying, I'm trying to give more of a modern spin on this. I think he's assuming here that if the father's punished, then you should know. I'm giving a different spin on this, that, you know, if you know that your father, let's say, did certain things that were not less than ideal, then you, let's say he wasn't punished, but you should be more concerned that behavior is going to trickle down to you, because we naturally assume what our parents do. But I agree with you.
Is there a distinction in the way we're looking at this between somebody who has because there's some difference in examples, huh, somebody who has a specific character flaw, or somebody whose propensity is evil? And,
yeah,
you know,
I don't know.
Because when you talk about it from a child's perspective, they should have known better,
right,
quote unquote, or they should have warned.
Right.
You can't assume that somebody who's,
yeah, I agree with you,
was completely evil.
Yeah.
Passed on good.
I would assume that kishaochsi maaseh avoseihem. Why are the children being punished to begin with? So if they're being punished to begin with, forget about what their parents. If they're being punished to begin with, that means they should have known better. So if they should have known better, and they realize their parent, like, we're dealing with the situation, not where, like, my grandparents will give you Shabbos, the parents will give you Shabbos, I don't know anything about Shabbos. We're talking about where they are continuing in the sin, and they're going to be punished for it, because they should have known better. So the reason why, so once they're being punished, because they should have known better, they should have been extra careful, because their father's engaged in that behavior. Let's go through second approach. The second approach, Rav Yosef Bechor Shor, he says, that's not what Poked Avon Avos means. And number two and number three are the opposite. Number two says, Yosef Bechor Shor says, V'al tomar, ki ani eshkach as apesha. And don't say that I'm going to forget the sin. Ki ani, Hashem said, ani poked avon avos, albanim. I remember the sin of the fathers and the children. V'lo bishvil shepara min ha-bein avonos shel avos. It's not because I'm going to exact punishment from the son for the sins of the father. Ki ish becheto yumasu. Everyone's going to punish for his own sins. V'lo yimus ha-bein avonos av. The son will not die for the sin of the father. El kachi amida. This is the midah. This is the measure. Im adam chote, if a person sins, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mamtin la'olah yashuv. Hashem waits. Maybe he's going to do tshuva. Oshima b'no yet tzadik. Maybe the son's going to be a tzadik. Okay. V'im yeh b'no ra. If the son is evil, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mamtin gam la'olah yashuv. Maybe Hashem is saying that maybe he's going to do tshuva. Oshima yeh b'en atov. Or maybe he's going to have a good son. V'chein ha'shlish in the third generation. V'im harvi ra. There are four generations of people who are sitting. Machido min ha'olam b'avono shel atzbo. Shekavar huksaku avosa. It's interesting that we're saying that the child could sometimes be saved from the schus avos. So if you have four generations, poked avon avos albanim. This is opposite what we do. The third approach, I think, is what we assume more. But the Bechor Shor, I just want to, it's out there, that he says that that sometimes if I do something bad, maybe I can get schus to my father, a grandfather, great-grandfather, up to four generations, that maybe I'm not going to be punished. So that's what it means, poked avot avos. I think what's more common is source three. Because we know that children say Kaddish for, you know the whole notion of why children say Kaddish for their father? Why? There's a medrash that says that a father who didn't have any zchuyot, but if he left a child and the child did good things, those things are attributed to the father. So that, the there's this Mishnah of Rabbi Eliezer, who says, U'minan chatzolos gedolim ad arba doros. How do we know that you can save for four generations? So he cites this poked avot avos. You can't be if the father was a Rasha and the children are tzaddikim. Shehu pokenes Rasha ha'av aleihem, that he could, you know, cast the evil of the father on the children. That's not a measure of justice. You can't say he's gonna make everyone guilty. That's not rachmim. Ve'ezu minas rachmim tole la'av ad arba doros. You wait for four generations. Shimhaya echa min arba doros tzadik. They say the father is a rasha gamur, wicked person. Shem waits four generations. If in four generations there's a tzaddik, hareha avnitzal, the father is saved. Lo nimsa echad min arba doros tzaddik. If you don't find one of the four generations as a righteous person, kol echad ve'echad nitpas al ma'asav, that everyone is held accountable for his deeds. So in other words, what he's saying here, and he points out that the whole notion of, this is found in the Yud Gimel Midol Shel Rachamim. So he goes on to say, you can't, this Pokein Avon Avos is in the context of Rachamim, of attributes of mercy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it can't be something that is condemning, that Hashem's going to punish extra because the father did something. So this, I think, is like more common, more, you know, this idea that if someone does something bad, so sometimes Hashem gives him a lot of opportunity for tshuva. This says even more. If someone does something bad, Hashem will, even if four generations later, if someone does something good, it somehow can serve as a schus. How it actually works, I don't know. But what this means is that this is rachamim, that he will not, that it could serve to save, a great-great-grandchild can serve to save the great-great-grandfather for his behavior. So in other words, poked avon avos albanim, it does not necessarily mean that we remember the sins of the father for the kids, to punish the kids. So the Rashi said, yeah, we do remember the father's son to punish the kids when he continues, when he should know better, and he continues to sin, so he's punished, not only for the sin, because he didn't learn from the father. The next two explanations, and there are two different ways of doing it, either that the father who sins, let's say a fourth generation son can be saved by schus avos, but in four generations, everyone was a Russia, he's not saved. Or the flip side, this Mishnah Rabbi Lezer, that the father who sins, he has four generations to save him. Okay? So these are...
I kind of get the first one.
Yeah.
The father saving the son.
Yeah.
The other one, the son saving the father. I understand it's chus, but you can't take it.
No, so I actually think...
There's a circular
line. No, but for me, actually, the second one's easier for me. Because the second one is saying... This idea, I think it's the idea of like a child saying Kaddish for a parent and doing merits on behalf of the parent. There's this presumption, maybe it's earned or not earned, why is the child doing a wonderful thing? Saying Kaddish, davening, learning, giving tzedakah. Why is he doing those things? Presumably he got it from the parent. So actually, for me, this approach actually resonates a little better for me because it's sort of like, he's not all bad. In other words, the schus avos, I mean, we have schus avos. We live schus of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, and it could be, that's more of like, because Hashem loved our parents, he's gonna, you know, he loved my parents, I'll be nice to the kids. That's this approach. That the schus of the banim is basically saying that the parent, he did something good, he's not all bad, because he has the sense for good. Where did they get it from? They got it from the parents. You could say he got it from his teachers, his friends, maybe. But that's what this idea says. That the whole notion of Kaddish is based on this concept. It's not only Kaddish. Actually, the origin story, I think, was actually said Baruch Hu. I think the different versions of the origin story. The next two are potentially more theologically challenging. if you're challenged by this. The final approach is the Rambam. The Rambam in the Morning of Vuchim. He says, no, children can be punished for the sins of the parents. But we're only talking about one particular sin. What sin is that? When it comes to Avodah Zarah, kids can be punished for the sins of the parents. Only when it comes to Avodah Zarah. Raya lakachi mashu omer be'eser dibros al shilashim v'albim lisson ai. It says it says lisson ai, a fourth generation to those who hate me. So that's a term of art, lisson ai. It's interesting. It's not said that in the Yugimos Midosh Rachbim. It's said in here. So v'lo nikra sone ela obed avodah zarah. Okay. So that, and he brings a proof text here that God hates ki kol to avot Hashem asher sone asu l'leheyam. So, and he says, why is it four generations? People, at least the Rambam felt in his time, generally people see four generations, right? Maybe nowadays some people see five, okay, maybe. So, but he said people generally see four generations. Therefore, because your horgim is an she'ir, ovei avodah zarah, horgim also zakin ha'oved, ve'setzoei tzab, shema dor harvi. Hare ze ki'ilu hu mitar, shemikla mitzvosa b'disala, shemikla ma'asa b'losavek, shirgut tzatzei of the avodah zarah. V'afilahim k'tanim, yachri morem v'sabehem. That when you kill the people of a city who worship avodah zarah, you kill the elder who sins, and all the generation. You're wiping them out. Tzivoy ze mitzanu chozim mafia b'torah b'chol makom. We find this everywhere. Because what institution do we find this where you're killing a whole town for avodah zarah? You're nidachas. Why are you killing? Think you're nidachas. You need rov. You need majority. That's an example, right? Well, you don't need everyone. It's rov. It's also theologically challenging. Again, it's a kind of situation. Some say it's drosh v'kabel schar, may never have happened, and it's just to tell you, tell you values. But there's this idea that we want to wipe out. Notice avodah zarah is so severe that look what he says. You have to wipe it all out. And avodah zarah, you have to uproot it completely. You have to any essence, any aspect of avodah zarah. Yeah, it's true. Innocent people die. Innocent people die because of the greater good. It's hard, but he said it's limited to avodah zarah. How often did it happen? I don't know. But sometimes the concept.
You're bringing an example.
Yeah, I know, I understand. But I'm saying, my point is that sometimes you could say that some sins are so grave that we try to emphasize, just like the mamzer situation, that the notion of adultery is so grave that we're going to make the consequence so severe to convey how severe the sin is. So we want to avoid it, but we're saying it's there. You know, again, there's always a general question. Is this theoretical or is it practical? Some of these things, it might be very theoretical to tell you that. And
but there needs guardrails around that type of thinking, because when you think about it, Avram's grandparents were Obed Avodah Zarah.
Right, right.
His whole town was Obed Avodah Zarah.
Right.
Lavan.
Right, so when does... Yeah,
didn't exist then.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, first of all, you have kings. You have Malchi Yehuda, whose parents are Obed Avodah Zarah. So when does Hashem do, when does Hashem not do this? I don't know, but the concept of Hashem, when he will decide to wipe someone out, he won't always do that, because you've had societies where a lot of people were over the avodah zarah, and you have children who weren't. So when will he do it, when will he not? Okay, we're not saying that we should do that, human courts. We're saying that God will sometimes do that. When will he choose it, when will he not choose to do that? There are probably multiple factors, but the concept of this is a very serious sin. Now the most, right? So what about little kids? So this is interesting. So Rashi, when he says, in Devarim Chavdal Tezayin, last approach, when he says that, Ish, it's a lo yumsu avos abadim, right? Ish pecheto yumas. What's Ish? A man, an Ish. How old is an Ish? A bar mitzvah. Bar mitzvah person will die with his own sins. Avami she'eno Ish, meis ba'avon aviv haktan, aviv. Haktanim meisim ba'avon avosim b'dei shemayim. You learn that Rashi when you're young, Josh. You learn the other Rashi. Okay. Right. So young children can die. So we're all good here. Okay. We're all good. All the kids are here. Good. Okay. So the young children can die for the sins of their fathers, b'dei shemayim. Why is this? Look what the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva. I don't know if you like, you say Hilchos Tshuva. A lot of us say the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva. Look what the Rambam, I don't know if you ever pay attention to this Rambam. The Rambam writes, Bizman Sha'adam Echad, O Anshe Mit Medida Chotim. When a person or people of a town sin, Vosa Chote Chet, Shosa Midato Mirtzono, and the sinner that commits a sin intentionally, royally Faramimenu, you should exact payment from him. God will know how to punish people. Sometimes God will exact punishment in this world with his body or with his money. You ever see this? Oh, bibanav haktanim, with his young children. Because you can't ignore these stories. There are stories in the Torah. I think also, who else died? I think who else, kids? I think, if I'm not mistaken, one of the, I think, did Yeravam's, didn't Yeravam's young kids die? Or no, it's the next king, I think.
I forgot whoever was the one that built the rebuilt
Rehov's
walls.
Oh, right, with his young kid, right? The Chiel, I think. Yeah. Chiel did that. I thought there was one of the early kings also that someone died. I think your Rambam may have one. But right, Bechoro, Yestanu, Vitziro, you said that right. Yeah. So there are stories. So he says, Shabanov. Look what he writes. Shabanov shall Adam haktanim shein b'hem das v'lo igil lechlam mitzvos. So children who are not bar mitzvah yet, they don't have halachic das, they're not in the klal mitzvos, ki kinyanohem. Wow, like property. Wow. Now again, what that means exactly, okay, it can be a lot of things. But
when a kid gets bar mitzvah, really they should make the bracha.
Right, bracha, Shemani, yeah, I'm saying. I don't know if you ever see that. We study Hilchos Tshuva, I'm saying. So he says, Uchsiv, look what he writes, ish bechata yomos, yamus, ach yase ish, until it becomes an ish. Okay, so right. So tell me, it's only once he's an ish, so then he's not going to punish for the sin of the father. But when he does it, and the idea, I'm going to say it outside. The Shaddal says again, it may not apply to young kids or even Shaddal applies it to all kids. And he's saying that sometimes Hashem, again, this will serve as a deterrent. It's like the Mamzer example. The Shaddal says that, like, let's read the last three lines here. We're a little over. Klal Shadavar Pekidas Avon Avos Abanim. The last three lines here. It's not to exact punishment, not to take revenge on a wicked person. The goal is deterrence. It's to try to convince people not to sin. And he says it doesn't, don't think it complicates, ruins how God, you know, works justice. Ubno shel Rasha, and the son of a Rasha. If he calculates good and bad that happened to him from when he's born until he dies, it will be known that everything works out. Again, maybe this applies to little kids, maybe not little kids, the little kid who died. But he's saying in general, he wants to say, even for older kids, children may be punished for the sins of their parents. It's a necessary evil. Because at the end of the day, what will motivate, right? Parents don't want to see, hopefully, parents don't want to see their children suffer. And that serves as motivation. Sometimes they'll say, okay, you're going to suffer. I'm willing to take the risk. But if you see if your child's going to suffer, I'm not willing to take the risk. So again, it's a lesser of two evils. So to say that ish b'cheto yumas, yeah, maybe. Okay, I'm telling you is there's a lot of conflicting evidence. So yeah, yeah.
Someone could have a kid and say, oh, now that I have a kid, I could
do what I want. And it's all on him. But I think that's the. But you have to understand that God will do that if God sees that I will deter the person from sinning. If he has a kid, so he feels he can do what he wants, so maybe God will try other things.
Is it, according to this last opinion,
yeah,
is when the children are punished, is that a kapara for the parent's sin, and therefore the parent doesn't get punished? Or is on top of that, the parent also get punished?
It's hard to know. I think you could go both ways. There are so many different like permutations of this. I'm just sharing you five different approaches. Let's just summarize what we said, because there's even more than this. There's another approach that said that Hashem started, and then Yecheskel may have, you know, got Hashem to turn back. But let's say what we summarize, and I'll give it to the final point here, is that again, We see conflicting evidence in how Hashem runs the world in Chumash, seemingly. And we have stories of children dying for the sins of their parents, children being punished for the sins of their parents. So we have one approach that child's only punished if the child also sins. Why the greater punishment? Maybe because he's more mired in sin, so you need to do more to extract the sin from him. Or he didn't learn from the wickedness of his parents. It doesn't answer the young children situation. Why the young children who clearly didn't sin? Another approach is that children can be saved. What poked avos abanim is that children can be saved from the schus avos up to four generations, or the reverse. Parents can be saved from the merit of their children for four generations. The Rambam Mor Nevuchim says this specifically applies to idolatry. We want to deter idolatry. It's such a destructive sin that we're going to completely eradicate it. Like Ir Nidachas, we kill a lot of people who may not have sinned. And the last approach is that no, sometimes children are punished for the sin of their parents. Young children, who clearly that is a deterrent for the parents. Young children are an extension of the parents, and punishment maybe is seen as a deterrence. And I think the bottom line is that all these different approaches, I think the tension that we are exploring reflects a central Torah principle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just. We believe He's just. We believe Hashem does not punish blindly. But human actions are never isolated from generations that follow. Again, we have to hold both truths at once, that each person is accountable for his or her sins, right, for their choices. But parents create moral and spiritual environments that shape their children's fate, whether it's punishment, whether it's merit, whether it's the lingering effects of sin. The message is that what parents do, it's a very powerful idea that family life carries intergenerational weight, and the Torah is teaching us that our decisions do not end with us. They become part of the inheritance we leave behind. There is no such thing as a purely private moral life. What we do affects generations to come. However you sort this out, I think that's the central message, no matter what approach that you follow. Right.